Good evening. It's good to be with you this evening to be able to bring the message. This evening, if you would go ahead and turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. We're going to look at verses 13 through 35. I know it's kind of lengthy there, but we're going to look at those verses and kind of break them down a little bit this evening. But the question I ask is, where is our fire? Where is our fire? In this lesson, we'll see that these men, they had a fire in them. And but we'll also see that we need that same fire in us. Luke chapter 24, and we'll read the first five verses there, 13 through 18. Luke 24, 13 through 18. And behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these places, or all these things which had taken place. While they were talking and discussing Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you are walking?" And they stood, still, looking sad. One of them, named Cleopas, answered and said to him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have happened here in these days?" So, what causes us not to tell people about how to be saved? We know just a few of those things: fear of rejection, maybe not knowing enough. We need to understand that the gospel is for all, and it's our duty to share it, no matter if we are rejected. There were many who rejected Christ in his time on earth. There will always be those who reject the gospel, but we still have a duty to spread the news, the good news. But Jesus appeared to Cleopas and another person there. These two were talking about things that had happened, you know, with Christ dying and went on, was in the tomb. When the tomb was opened, he was not there. So they had a lot to talk about there. Jesus approached them and then traveled with them. But as before that happened, their eyes were prevented from recognizing Jesus. So therefore, they didn't even know they was talking to Jesus on this journey here. Do we put our blinders on in God's Word? And I believe we do. We do put our blinders on. Many times we don't like what He tells us, what the Bible tells us. So we try to do things our way. We don't like hearing the truth. We don't like hearing the truth. And God's Word is truth. John chapter 4 and verse 24. John 4, 24, the Bible reads, "God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth." We have all we need and much more. Also in John chapter 8, 31 and 32. John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. The Bible reads, "So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, 'If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine.'" Verse 32, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." There are those who are of the world, and it's hard for them to give up worldly pleasures. We must continue in God's word so we can truly belong to him. We can't stop learning. You know, in Christianity, we give up our old paths and give our lives to Christ. We must give up those worldly things and reach for heavenly things. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. "Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." You know, the Christian life is not easy. It's not easy by far, and we must have that fire within us to spread the good news. You know, fire can spread, and it can spread fast. And that's what we need in the church today: those who aren't afraid of being rejected. Those who aren't being afraid to be rejected. We are in a battle. We're in a battle with Satan. But what we know about Satan is he can be defeated. He can be defeated. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Verse 9. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. You know, the churches of Christ all around face the same problem, and that's Satan. We must not allow him to dictate our duties. We should carry them out so we can defeat him. You know, Satan loves it when we aren't going out seeking the lost and door knocking, setting up Bible studies, inviting people to church service and church activities. He loves those things when we're not about our business, about the things that we must be doing. Many times we allow things to stop us from doing what we need to do. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16, the Bible reads, "But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he is not to be ashamed, but is to glorify God in this name." You know, it is inevitable that we will suffer for being a Christian. You know, we can look at the life of Paul. You know, he suffered greatly, but he kept his focus on Christ, and he kept the focus on the crown of life. The second thing this evening, coming from Luke chapter 24, and let's read on verses 19 through 24. Luke 24, 19 through 24. "And he said to them, 'What things?' And they said to him, 'The things about Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty indeed in word and sight of God, word in the sight of God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to the sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it is the third day since these things had happened. But also, some women among us amazed us. When they were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found just exactly as the women also had said, but him they did not see." You know, and I, if they only knew, you know, Cleopas in verse 18 there, Cleopas addressed Jesus in verse 18 and asked if he was the only one visiting and unaware of the things that had been going on. You know, Jesus played the part real well here. He says, "What things? What things?" You know, then he proceeded to tell them, they proceeded to tell him that Jesus was sentenced to death and crucified, and hoping, it was he who would redeem Israel. And then we see on down there that the women were amazed, and these people, Jesus' body was not found there in the tomb. And then there was also that vision of the angels that said Jesus was alive. And then others went back, and it was as the women said, he was not there. He was not there. And that's what the women came back telling as well. So they said he was not there. This was quite the story, which Jesus already knew what had happened. They were talking to him, not knowing it was him. They would really be amazed then, if they really knew who they were talking to at that time. Jesus is alive, and he lives in us today. We should want to please him. We should want to please him. Jesus is our perfect sacrifice, and because of his willingness to die on the cross, we have that forgiveness of sins. Matthew chapter 9 and verses 10 and 11. Matthew chapter 9, verses 10 and 11. And this is Jesus eating with the tax collectors and sinners. "Then it happened that as Jesus was reclining at the table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were dining with Jesus and his disciples." Jesus was a friend to all. He was always teaching, and we see through his examples how we must be. You know, and then at verse 11, "When the Pharisees saw this, They said to his disciples, "Why is your teacher eating with tax collectors and sinners?" You know, these men did not understand the love Jesus had for everyone. They did not understand that. Jesus set the bar high for us to follow him. But we make a choice whether to follow him or not. We make that choice. The Pharisees were heartless and went against everything Jesus stood for. Third thing this evening comes out of Luke 24, and we'll finish up the chapter there, finish up that section, 25 through 31. Luke 24, verses 25 through 21. And he said to them, "O foolish men and slow of heart, to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? Then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. And they approached the village where they were going, and he acted as though he were going farther. But they urged him, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is getting toward evening, and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he had reclined at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it, and breaking it, he began giving it to them." And then verse 31 there, "Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight." So Jesus was able to be recognized at this point. He was able to be recognized by these men. Jesus addressed them, saying, "Foolish men, slow of heart." You know, he asked if it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to enter into his glory. He asked them that. He explained things concerning himself in all the scriptures. So he began with Moses, and then talked about the prophets. They was able to talk to Jesus about everything, but they still did not know it was him yet. In verse 28, they were approaching the village where they were going, and they urged Jesus. They urged him to stay because the day was almost over. So he stayed and he ate with them. And it was then that their eyes were opened. They were able to recognize him. And then once they were able to recognize him, then Jesus vanished. You know, this must have been an amazing sight just to know that they had talked to Jesus. And he ate with them. Jesus was able to give them more proof that he was alive. He was able to give them that proof that he was alive. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 26. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 19 and verse 26. "And looking at them, Jesus said to them, With people, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." You know, when we have God on our side, anything can happen. We must trust that His will be done and not ours. So many times we can get flustered because we think our prayers aren't being answered or things just aren't going our way. We must remember that God is in control. God is in control and not us. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." Verse 9, For us the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You know, God's way is always better than ours. God's way is always better than ours. Job chapter 28 and verse 28. Job 28 and verse 28. And to man he said, "Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding." You know, we need wisdom and we also need understanding in all that we do. It's easy to do our own thing and we tend to leave God out of the picture, but we must go to him. We go to God in prayer in times of need. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 20. Proverbs 19 and verse 20. "Listen to counsel and accept discipline, that you may be wise the rest of your days." You know, wisdom is something that we all need so we can bring glory to God. Psalm 97 and verse 10. Psalm 97 and verse 10. Hate evil, you who love the Lord, who preserves the souls of his godly ones. He delivers them from the hand of the wicked. You know, we must hate evil. But love, we must love the evildoer. We must love the sinners. We must hate what they do, but we must love the sinner. You know, this is the attitude that we must have. Earlier, we know that Jesus sat with sinners and ate with sinners, and that's the attitude that we need to have. We need to show them that type of love. So many times, we are harsh to the sinner when we need to show them compassion. And then the last thing this evening comes from the last four verses there. Luke chapter 24, verses 32 through 35. Luke 24, verses 32 through 35. They said to one another, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us?" And they got up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found gathered together the 11 and those who were with them, saying, "The Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon." They began to relate their experiences on the road and how he was recognized by them in the breaking of the bread. So these people had fire from within. They had fire from within. The question we ask sometimes, were not our hearts burning? Are not our hearts burning within us? You know, well, so that's the question that was asked there. You know, their hearts were burning within them. We have the scriptures as well as and we know. You know, the question we need to ask ourselves: do you have fire in your heart to share what you know? Do you have that fire in your heart to share what you know? You know, it's the fire that we need to have, though. In Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9. Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9. "But if I say, I will not remember him or speak any more in his name, then in my heart it becomes like a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary of holding it in. And I cannot endure it." You know, that's the same type of fire that we need to have. We've just got to tell people about Jesus and his saving message. But Jeremiah had a message and he wanted to share it. And so do we. We can't be afraid of the negative responses that we will get, because it happens. We will get negative responses. You know, we sing the song, "Light the Fire." And just go over the verses. "I stand to praise you. I fall on my knees. My spirit is willing and my flesh is so weak." Then in verse 2, "I feel your arms around me as the power of your healing begins. You breathe new life right through me like a mighty rushing wind." And then the chorus says, "Light the fire in my soul. Fan the flame. Make me whole. Lord, you know where I've been, so light the fire in my heart again." You know, many times our fire for God can go out, but it also can be rekindled. That fire can be rekindled. These men had more than enough proof that Jesus had risen, but they have just enough proof that he is alive. They were able to talk about it amongst each other. They were able to say that he is risen because they were able to recognize Jesus at the breaking of the bread. They recognized who he was. And then, but leading up to this, they had no idea. They had no idea. So they had a story to tell. Their faith had been strengthened. We know that our faith can be challenged by things that happen in our lives. We see in Jesus' many miracles that he performed. It took faith in that person he was tending to. It took faith from them. They had to have a strong faith. Matthew chapter 21 and verse 22. Matthew chapter 21 and verse 22. "In all things you ask in prayer, believing you will receive it." You know, if we doubt what God can do, then he won't answer our prayers. If we have any doubts, we must have faith in God that he will take care of our needs. These men had a fire about them to tell what they saw. The question that we ask ourselves, who is going to believe me? Who's going to believe my story? Or why even try? Why do we even try? Well, we just need to remember that there's souls at stake. There are souls at stake, and we must put forth our best effort to teach the gospel. We must do our very best. Jesus was not afraid to teach. He knew there would be those who wouldn't believe. Psalm 23, verse 4. Psalm 23, verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This is the confidence that we need. This is the confidence we need. We know that God is with us when we have Bible study with those who are wanting to know more about God. We must not fear Satan and his schemes. His job is to convince us not to study, not to teach others about Christ and his will for us. Psalm 66 and verse 16. Psalm 66 and verse 16. Come and hear, all who fear God. I will tell of what he has done for my soul. We need to let everyone know what the Lord has done for us. He can do it for others as well. We have our own story to tell, and we can't be afraid to tell it. We cannot be afraid to tell our own story. The day you were baptized was the best day ever. The day you were baptized was the best day ever. It's the day you gave your life to Christ. Many people are afraid to give up those worldly things. God offers much more to us than what the world has to offer. God offers salvation. The world cannot. The world offers nothing. Psalm 25 and verse 5. Psalm 25 and verse 5. The Bible reads, lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day. I thank God that he has given us salvation. We should be thankful for that. We must remain faithful. Revelation 2 and verse 10, we must remain faithful until death. That doesn't mean being in church, you know, that doesn't mean being in church service every Sunday, every morning, every Sunday evening, every Wednesday. We must remain faithful each and every day. Each and every day, we must remain faithful. The question we must ask ourselves is, if the Lord was to come right now, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you living righteously, or are you far from God? In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Salvation is found in no one else but God. Romans 1:16, very familiar verse. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We can't be ashamed of the gospel because it's what saves us. The gospel is what saves us. There is much work to do. The kingdom needs work, needs workers. We all have talents. We must put those talents to use. Any opportunity we get to share the gospel, we must take it. We must take that opportunity because that's the fire that we must have. Don't let Satan blow out your fire. Don't let him blow out your fire. We should be drawing closer to God each and every day. We must pray for each other as we strive to grow in number. We also must pray that we seek those who are outside of Christ. We must keep our eyes peeled because we can make a difference. And I'm going to close with a quote from the movie The Help. You is kind, you is sweet, you is important. And we are important to God. Each one of us are important to God. Let's keep that in mind. This evening, the lesson is yours. If you haven't become a child of God, haven't put Christ on in baptism, or if you are a Christian and you're struggling in your daily walk, whatever your need is, go ahead and make it be made known as we stand and sing the invitation.